Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are talking about religion and politics. Assalamu alaikum, dear viewers. Welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We are here in the studio talking about religion and politics and some various different aspects surrounding religion and politics, especially when it concerns the religion of Islam. So to talk about the subject, we humbly invited Sheikh Hur Shabiri from the United Kingdom to come and speak to us. So let's go ahead and invite him and start the talk show. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh Hur Shabiri, and welcome to the Islamic Pulse Talk Show.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for inviting me. God bless you.
Thank you, Sheikh. God bless you too. It's such an honor to be here with you again. Last time you were visiting the holy city of Qom, you gave us the honor to come sit down and speak with us and the viewers. And this time around again, we thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule, coming and sitting down and speaking with us about these topics.
It's my honor to speak about many subjects that are related to the Muslim Ummah.
Yes.
And today again, it's a great opportunity that we'll be talking about this very important subject, that is concerning religion and politics, because that has caused many types of the misconceptions within the Islamic world. So,
And this is what we had thought, right? It's interesting that, so, you know, it is the Gregorian calendar year 2023. And so, you know, 2023, people unfortunately still have this confusion about Islam and religion, you know, and politics and the combination of the two or the separation of the two, you know, even though a lot of these things should have been resolved by now for many people, especially because this is a subject that is so often spoken about, especially after the 1979 Islamic revolution in Iran. But still, we want to, you know, go ahead and hand it over to you and perhaps, you know, talk a little bit about this general ambiance and environment of religion and politics in the name of Allah.
Yes. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المبين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط. As you know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 124,000 prophets, and one of the objectives that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran about sending the prophets, that is implementation of the justice.
Right.
As it's been said in this verse that we have...
The qist aspect of it. Yes.
This is one thing that we have sent on the prophets, that people, they can have justice in the society. So that was the ultimate goal of the prophets to be sent to the society. When we look at Islam as a religion, we can see that Islam is a comprehensive religion.
Yes.
That includes all aspects of our life.
Sure.
Islam is not a religion of some rituals and, you know, only a partial type of Islam that has some ibadat, worships, and those kind of things. But Islam is a comprehensive religion.
Right.
When we say comprehensive religion, that means it covers all aspects of our life.
Sure.
Within those aspects of our life, of course, there is a personal religion. Mm. And then there is a social religion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, you know, many other religion like Christianity, that has been actually taught today by the churches, that speaks about being religion as a personal religion,
A very individual aspect
individual
religion.
Aspects.
Yes, yeah.
And that has affected many societies around the world as well. And those who really do not have depth about religion, they also look at Islam just like as a partial Islam, as a personal Islam, as a personal religion or
it's
individual religion.
Individual aspect.
Yes, individual aspect.
To just me, myself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But when we look at Islam that has been sent down the Prophet, peace be upon him, that is a complete Islam.
Yes.
A complete Islam that is to do with the social aspects of life, but sometimes social aspect of life is important than the individual aspect of life. And that is why, you know, Islam, it starts from having daily prayer in Jamaat,
mm-hmm.
then it goes to weekly prayers in Jamaat,
mm-hmm.
then it goes mm-hmm. to have yearly prayers
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
a large number of people getting mm-hmm. together on the mm-hmm. Eid day.
Right, right.
So the real concept of Eid
mm-hmm.
was that whole city
mm-hmm.
getting together at one place.
MashaAllah.
Mm-hmm. And having a larger social gathering
mm-hmm.
within
mm-hmm.
the city.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the most important gathering. Then an international conference
mm-hmm.
and congress that is going to be mm-hmm. in Hajj.
Mm-hmm. The Hajj,
people,
yes.
People, they mm-hmm. leave from different places. Delegations,
mm-hmm.
they have to get together over there. And then they are going to be forming a very important gathering
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
is under the sky in Arafat, for
mm-hmm.
example. And then Imam of the Arafat has to be delivering the
mm-hmm.
sermon
mm-hmm.
For all the Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to speak about those important subjects of Muslim Ummah.
Mm-hmm.
So that is Islam.
And it's showing you this very social,
yes.
You know, overall Ummah community aspect of Islam, as
of
you
course.
Were saying. Yeah.
Of course. So it starts from the local area,
mm-hmm.
then goes to cities,
mm-hmm.
then from mm-hmm. cities it goes to the national, and then from national
mm-hmm.
it forms an international society.
MashaAllah, yes.
So when that is the case, that means Islam is more a social religion than a personal
mm-hmm.
religion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because all these personal prayers are being said to be held
mm-hmm.
in Jamaat.
Together
in congregation.
In congregation.
Yes, it starts
yes.
encouraging that when you're praying at home,
mm-hmm.
then this is going to be reward. But if you pray in Jamaat, then it's
mm-hmm.
like 70 prayers
right.
of your home.
Right.
So why Islam is encouraging that you have to pray
right.
in a
congregation.
In Jamaat, congregation.
In Jamaat. Yeah.
Reason that it wants to establish society. Then
mm-hmm.
it asks that you have to come in Jummah prayer. And
mm-hmm.
then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed one of the surahs of Quran, Surah Jummah,
mm-hmm.
to have a congregational prayer where all the Muslims behind an alim
mm-hmm.
Or a personality that is jurist. And not only he has to pray over there, but
sure.
then he has to stand up over there and he has to address the
mm-hmm.
Muslim Ummah.
Mm-hmm.
He should be speaking about aspects of piety, purification,
mm. Mm.
and then he has to be addressing important
mm.
issues regarding the Muslim Ummah.
Right, these social and political issues
yes.
going on in the Muslim world.
Yes, and many of our Maraji, they believe that actually Salatul Jummah is a governmental
mm-hmm.
prayer.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
Yes, it's not only, for example, in non-believer countries, we
mm.
have Salatul Jummah.
Sure.
Yes, it is important. But when it comes to
mm-hmm.
Islamic government
mm-hmm.
or Islamic establishment,
mm-hmm.
it is something to do with the establishment.
Right, right.
Because while Holy Prophet was in Mecca,
mm-hmm.
we did not have Salatul Jummah.
Interesting, yeah.
When Holy Prophet moved to Medina.
And he established a
yes.
governmental authority.
Yes. So mm-hmm. that was a Madani society.
Yes.
Where Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, was asked that, Ya ayyuhal ladina amanu, iza qumtu, iza nudiya ila salati, when you are being invited
mm.
towards the Jummah prayer,
sure, yeah.
then you have to come, fas'u ila dhikrillah,
mm.
you have to hasten towards the dhikr
mm.
of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Mm.
So this is...
It's really interesting. I just wanted to add
yes.
in there because sometimes I think that the opponents of Islam or the enemies of Islam, you know, they have a tendency to understand these mechanisms much better than we do, right?
Yes.
So it's interesting when, you know, to today, you know, 2023, right?
Yes.
You brought up this idea that, you know, according to some, the Jummah prayer was this kind of like a spokesperson for the governmental establishment where
yes.
certain specific messages are going out into
oh, yes.
the Muslim Ummah to keep everybody united,
yes.
right, under one direction.
Yes.
So this, as a Muslim, I never had thought about it like that for, you know, most of my life. But when you look at the enemy's apparatus, if you go all the way back to the time of Muawiyah,
yes.
what did he do? He used the Jummah prayers and
mm-hmm.
he used the minbar and the pulpit as a governmental establishment.
Yes.
Yeah, of course he used it to, you know, curse and curse Imam Ali alayhi salam, right? But they had this concept that you were speaking of.
Of course, you know, if we look at the concept of separation of Islam from religion,
right.
that began actually from the time of Banu Umayya and Bani Abbas.
Right. And this is, well, I know you're, I think you're going towards that discussion, and I wanted to ask you so that we open that chapter. And that is this idea that this separation of religion and politics, this is something that was in Islam, of course, based upon the first part that yes. Islam is comprehensive. We kind of answered that, but yes. If it's not a part of the Islamic thinking or the Islamic existence, you know, then where does this yes. separation of religion and politics come from?
Thank you very much. You know, when we look at the origin of Islam, or we said original Islam.
Sure.
Islam, pure Muhammadan Islam. We see the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, when he moved to Medina. Mm. At that time, he made the masjid. And masjid was like the capital.
Yeah, the headquarters.
So that was used as a headquarter. Where Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, used to give the verdicts. That was a place where armed forces they used to come. And they used to give guard of honor to the Prophet, peace be upon him.
Interesting.
That and is the masjid. Where everything is being formed. Everything is being established through masjid. So masjid was actually a central place for the capital of Islam. There we can understand that masjid is not only for prayer. But when we look at the place that is called mihrab.
Yes.
Mihrab, right, it comes from harb. Place where we start actually stand against the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Against shaitan.
Yes. In all its different
against
forms.
All the evils.
Yeah.
Then of course after the Prophet, peace be upon him, the government, it becomes in the hands of people, those who really not being representative of Prophet, peace be upon him. Although they were pretending that they are representative of Prophet, peace be upon him. But at the same time, of course, they did not have that capability.
As others in the Ummah,
as the rightful representative of Prophet, peace be upon him.
Sure.
So that was the beginning where actually they were saying that there is a religious part, that Ahlul Bayt Ramu Salaam, or a spiritual part, that is Ahlul Bayt Ramu Salaam. But when it comes to the social issues, then you have to come towards
the Khulafa.
Khulafa.
It's interesting, even in the present day and in a lot of Sufi schools of thought, even in the present day, if you do, I was doing a little bit of research, and they consider, and some of these sects, they even of the Sufis, consider the 14, the 12 Imams to be this spiritual qutb and the poles, but at the same time, they consider the khulafa to be the political leaders that governed. So this separation of spirituality and religion, as you were saying.
That is actually background of the beginning of separation. That because they don't see that capability within those khulafa, that they can be leading in the religious affairs. So that is why they thought that this has to be remaining to Ahlul Bayt Ramu Salaam. And they consider them as an imam in spiritual world.
Right.
So that is why they say that vilayat is two types of vilayat.
Right.
One is spiritual vilayat, and second is the social vilayat.
Right.
And social vilayat is belong to the khulafa, and spiritual vilayat is belong to Ahlul Bayt Ramu Salaam.
And what's really beautiful, if we add on our behalf, is that both that social and political wilaya, and the spiritual and batini wilaya, came together with Amirul Mu'mineen Imam Ali alayhi salam, and it's not seen anywhere.
Yes, that was being announced on the day of Qadir when Holy Prophet said, "Man kuntu maulahu fahad Ali al-Mawla." So we are the people, as the followers of Ahlul Bayt Ramu Salaam, that we believe that that complete wilayat that was belonged to the Prophet, peace be upon him, it was transferred to Amirul Mu'mineen alayhi salam, and after Amirul Mu'mineen, to all Aimma alayhi salam. And it's really unfortunate that after having all these important facts, then a person who follows the path of Amirul Mu'mineen, he starts believing that what is something to do with the politics.
It's a separation between the two.
And then he starts believing that. Or for example, you have centers in a Western world where you think that an alim who has to be the only leading the spiritual affairs, and there has to be somebody who is leading the social affairs. So that is all. This is actually based on that segregation of Islam from the politics that those were thinking. And actually, this belief or concept that has been established in the school of Khilafah, that has come practical within our society as well. And our society got inspired from that as well, because it was like 1,000 years that they were leading all Muslim Ummah. And slowly people they start to think that what is something to do Islam with the politics.
That these two are really separate from one another.
That is why, you know, Iqbal, one of the thinkers of Islam Ummah, he says that Juda ho din siyasat se to reh jati changezi. If you separate religion from politics then it's going to be just dictatorship. It's going to remain dictatorship.
Genghis.
Genghis, that means dictatorship.
From Genghis Khan.
Yes, it's Genghis.
Yes, yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
So he actually looks Islam as a comprehensive religion.
Right.
Unfortunately, many of those who may be wearing imama, he's better than those who really did not have depth of knowledge about Islam.
Right.
But he sees Islam in the origin.
Right.
And Islam in Nab. That is why.
You know, Agha, so one of the things that's interesting here is if you take out the political aspect from Islam, then you have a very, you know, a weak Islam. Islam that has no power,
yes,
right?
True.
It's interesting, I was doing some research, and I think it was Imam Khamenei, he was speaking to some youth, and he said, you don't remember an age, you know, because you're so young. And he said, before our Islamic revolution, we lived in an age where the righteous, religious, the mu'mineen, the believers, they had no say in government, and they had no power.
Yes.
Right?
That's
and the people that had the power were the tyrants and the taghut and the dictators and these kind of individuals. And so we were not able to implement Islam, you know, or Islamic laws at all.
Yes.
Right? So this is kind of what I was saying, that a Islam without politics has no power. It becomes weak. It becomes subservient, you know, if you'd like to comment
about
on that.
Imam Khomeini, Rizwanullah Ta'ala, has very interesting, in one of the messages, he says that before Islamic revolution, Islam was like a dead horse.
Interesting.
And everybody wanted to have a ride.
On the dead horse, yeah.
And then he says, the same time, it was like a dead horse, but still they had fear from Islam.
Subhanallah. Yeah.
And then he says
they knew the potential of
Islam.
Yes,
potential of Islam is there.
Yeah.
Then he says that now as this Islam has become in power and it has its own establishment and it has its own armed forces, now Islam, you can think that how much they would have fear about Islam.
Yeah. And now it's an Arabian horse, if you want to call it, or a stallion, which is going at full speed.
Yes.
MashaAllah.
Yes. So that's why today's conspiracies and enmity about Islam that is increasing day by day, it's because that Islam has become in power. Islam is giving a concept that it can establish the Islamic laws and it can be a universal religion. It has its own system. And now we have in houses, for example, there are scholars, those who are talking today about Islamic system.
Yes.
Or maybe Islamic economy.
Right, right.
There was a time that nobody knew what it means, Islamic economy. Only in the books, for example, Shahid Bakr Sadr,
right.
He had written a book about Islamic economy.
Iqtisadna.
But now, alhamdulillah, it has become time that when this is going to be, in the future, maybe it's going to be like an Islamic economy system that is going to be presented within the world.
Yes.
So there we can understand that when Islam, it becomes in power, then those advancements that we can see today.
Which came about via keeping the comprehensiveness of Islam together, meaning keeping the religion with the politics and the social and the individual aspect together, is creating this progress.
Yes, it's very interesting that, you know, after passing almost 40 years and with all these experiences, sometime, you know, if there's just a concept and it's not been experienced, not been experimented, then yes, somebody maybe is confused.
Yeah, they say there's no evidence, there's no proof, it's just a theory.
But unfortunately, after having all these experiences, that even enemies they are feeling threat about Islam. And they are saying that Islam is advancing. But within our community, still we have, you know, the, in Urdu they say, kuhe ke mendek. They are still, you know, thinking that how Islam can have any political system and what is something to do with the politics.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yes. So really, you know, Islam in today with all these advancements that we can see, it is great evidence that when Islam is combined and Islam is comprehensive,
right,
at that time Islam is going to be advanced. Then I would say about the youth and you know, new generation.
Right, right.
If you just compare yourself with the past 40 years back,
yes,
and those advancements that West had, and if we wanted to say that yes, Islam is also a religion that has some sort of advancement. If there was no Islamic government, what was something that we could
put forth,
put forth over there and present to the society? But after passing all these years, we can say that today those advancements in scientific world, in technology, in medical, for example, in all these advancements are really great evidence.
Right, right. I kind of wanted to go back to this idea that the separation between religion, you know, the separation between Islam and politics in the Muslim world happened, you know, not only during that original era of the, you know, the Khilafat and the things that we talked about, but I'd like to, and it's maybe a self-explanatory, you know, question, but still I'd like to ask it. So if the other imams had the opportunity to establish a government, would they, right?
Very, very nice question. At all, when we look at the history of Aimma alayhi salam, all Aimma alayhi salam, they lived with suppression. Most of them in the prisons.
Right.
If Aimma alayhi salam,
all of them killed,
they were not
martyred,
having any stand. Why would have been
they martyred? Tortured and martyred?
Why they were being tortured
in prison?
Why Imam Musa Qazi alayhi salam should be staying in the prison for 14 years.
If he's just if it's showing just, the spiritual aspect of Islam.
For example, if the Namaz, they were just saying that you, you should be praying. Nobody cared about that. I can remember about Imam Khomeini, Rizwanullah ta'ala, he used to say a story that when English people, they came and they had occupied some of the parts of Iran.
Right.
And near to the border. There was somebody who was standing on the top roof of the masjid or mosque, and he was saying Adhan. And that English person, he asked from the Persian that what is he doing? And he says that he's calling for the prayer. And very interesting question that he asked, that is it something to do with us? And he says, oh no, it has nothing to do with you. And then he would say that, or ask him that, please say it louder.
Tell him to say it twice.
Yes.
So if, because it has nothing to do with us.
Yes, if our junus, for example, and our majalis have nothing to do with anybody, they are going to say, please do it louder. Because it's nothing to do with us.
Yeah. It doesn't put us in danger. It doesn't threaten the status quo. Yeah. It doesn't even bring up questions to awaken the masses and
you know, sometimes we make those statements within our majalis that our majalis has nothing to do with anybody else.
Yeah.
We just come to commemorate a history.
Right.
If Karbala is to commemorate something,
right,
then that's not a Karbala. It's just a history. That means we are cursing upon a Yazid that was already dead. Right?
Like the dead horse.
Yes. And we are saying salam and salute to the historical Imam Hussein.
Not the living Imam Hussein.
Yes.
The
but
present,
you know, it's been
Imam
said,
Hussein.
Karbala, it's a living, important aspect that is living today.
It has a wujud. It has an existence.
It has its existence. And that is why it's actually making a stand within the world. And that is why it's rising people, it's rising of communities, And Imam Khomeini used to say that Maharchi Darim as Karbala Ashura Darim. Whatever we have, it's because of Karbala and Ashura.
Yes.
Because that has taught us that we have to be always standing against the suppressors of the world and tyrannies of the world. Otherwise, what is something that if you just say that, oh, yes, in history, 14 years ago, there was somebody who's oppressor and there is no oppressor after that.
Right.
That's what we are saying.
Right.
If we say that we have nothing to do today, that means there is no oppressor after Yazid. There was only one oppressor in the world. That was Yazid. And that's totally wrong. And Imam Hussein never said that I'm standing against Yazid.
Yeah, because someone
Imam
like
said,
me.
Mithli, la yubayu' mithla. The person like me would never give allegiance to the person like Yazid.
And opening this door for the rest of time and eternity.
Oh yes.
That anybody who wants to be like Hussein must oppose anybody who is like Yazid.
Imam Hussein was setting standards actually.
Right.
He was setting a principle.
Right.
He was not just saying that this is just part of history that I'm doing that. He wanted to say that in the past history also, anybody who was taking stand against pharaohs, that was also like Husseini. After me, if anybody is going to take a stand, that is going to be also a stand regarding Karbala and Ashura.
Sheikh Hoshabiri, we kind of have gone towards the end of the talk show. I mean, I still want to let you have the last word. Any final thoughts again about this whole idea that, you know, of course, Islam, comprehensive religion, and therefore naturally politics is a part of Islam. But anyways, I'd like your final thoughts.
Yes, what I'd like
inshallah
to request communities and especially our new generation that they have to know about the depth of Islam.
Yes.
They should not be relying on some speeches or some majalis or khutbah. But we have to look at Islam through Quran and Hadith. And also the lives of Ahlul Bayt Salam.
Yes.
We have to see toward the depth of Islam. And when we have that understanding and make a logic about Islam, and we should be looking at Islam as a comprehensive religion rather than having a partial religion, because that is going to be degrading Islam as a religion. Otherwise, Islam will not be able to be, you know, equal to any other religion in the world.
Right.
It's going to be just like a personal religion. So that's my request that as a leader has said that our youth, they have to be looking at Islam through Quran. So make Quran as your glasses to see Quran, to see Islam.
Sheikh, I'd like to also get your, because we talked about the youth and the community and, you know, and the general Muslim population out there. But I'd also like to get your advice to the scholars that are out there who have a huge responsibility in you know, in guiding the people, right? So the people have their own responsibility, but that responsibility of the scholar, if you, you know, we humbly request your advice, you know, for the scholars.
Yes, there is a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that if there are two groups of the Muslim ummah, they are on the right path, then whole Muslim ummah is going to be on the right path. طائفتان لو صلحا صلحت أمتي ولو فسدا فسدت أمتي. That if these two groups are on the right path, then whole ummah is going to have right path. And if they become corrupt, then whole ummah is going to be
corrupt.
And then he said, he was asked that, what are those two groups? And the Holy Prophet said that al-umara wal-ulama.
The leaders.
The leaders.
And the scholars.
The scholars. And interestingly then, when we look at the having leaders a path, and if we like to train the leaders, who is going to be training?
The scholars.
Ulama, scholars. So that means the nucleus of Muslim ummah are the scholars. And they have to be teaching the religion that is original religion. Not the religion that comes into their minds.
Or is convenient for them.
Yes. So they should not be teaching religion, Islam, a convenient Islam. Islam that is Islam of Prophet, Islam of Ahlul Bayt, Islam, and that is Islam in Nab, and pure Islam. rather than whatever they think that it is Islam.
Mm-hmm.
Islam is Islam of the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islam of Prophet. Very interestingly, one thing that I said many speeches, that even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not mention Islam towards the Prophet.
Mm-hmm.
He said, "Inna dina 'inda Allah al-Islam." That chosen religion before Allah is Islam.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Subhanallah. Yeah.
So that's very important.
Yeah, it's very important.
Verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah.
That Islam is only chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when it comes chosen?
Mm.
When it was chosen?
Yes.
It was chosen after Ghadir.
Mm.
Before
the
that,
was
Islam
completed.
Was there.
Mm.
But on the day of Ghadir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Waradhitu lakumul Islam adina."
I am satisfied, radhi.
Today we have accepted Islam as religion.
Mm.
Before that, it wasn't religion.
Mm.
It wasn't been as a chosen religion by Allah.
It wasn't complete in its full form. Jazakallah. So, Sheikh Urshabiri, thank you so much for joining us on the talk show. It was an honor. I know you took time out of your really busy schedule. We really appreciate it. For the very fruitful discussion that we had. May Allah bless you.
It's my honor.
And protect you today and always give you long life, health, iman, inshallah.
May Allah bless you all, inshallah. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jazakallah. And dear viewers, thank you so much for joining us on the Islamic Pulse Talk Show. We were here talking with Sheikh Urshabiri from the United Kingdom, who very eloquently spoke to us about Islam being a religion that is comprehensive, and of course, as a part of it being comprehensive, is that politics, is an integral part of the religion. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah and fi amanillah.